How is that affecting public opinion and where Democratic voters are leading heading into the primary season, which is just around the corner? For that, we are joined by Tom Jensen, the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. You can find him on Twitter at PPPpolls. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So Democratic presidential debate last night. Have talked a little bit about the state of the Democratic primary race in the last couple of weeks and months leading up to what went down last night. Give us your sense of where things stand right now as far as who's got the inside edge for the nomination.
Well, it's definitely sort of a two-track answer to that question. One thing that's happened over the last month that's sort of interesting is it seems like Joe Biden is actually sort of reestablishing his big national lead. For a while, there were some polls where he and Elizabeth Warren were pretty close to each other, or Elizabeth Warren was even ahead of Biden. Warren's been losing some of her support over the last month or so to Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg, and that's sort of reestablished Biden as the clear national leader. Biden has an overwhelming lead in South Carolina and has a modest lead in Nevada as well when you look at the early states. But something that has definitely changed since the last time we talked is that Pete Buttigieg now seems to be emerging as really the pretty clear favorite, at least for the moment, in both Iowa and New Hampshire. The Des Moines Register had a poll that came out last weekend that had Buttigieg up by 9 points on Elizabeth Warren in Iowa. Then this week, St. Anselm College in New Hampshire came out with a poll that had Buttigieg with a similar size lead in New Hampshire. So it sort of raises an interesting question. Buttigieg is still in fourth place in the national polls behind both Biden and Warren and Bernie Sanders as well. But you sort of wonder what happens sort of momentum-wise if he actually is able to continue here over the next 2 or 3 months to have the advantage in Iowa and New Hampshire, whether he would start to sort of gain ground in other places that vote afterwards.
It's been Buttigieg's strategy to focus a lot of his campaign attention on Iowa. So when those polls started to come out that showed him doing really well among voters in Iowa, that didn't surprise me so much. It was when the polls started to come out showing him doing well in New Hampshire that surprised me a little bit, because if for no other reason, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are from neighboring states and New England candidates tend to do better in New Hampshire. Did that surprise you when you saw that?
A little bit, but I think that one thing that his strength in Iowa and New Hampshire does speak to is that those states are very demographically different from the rest of the country and very demographically similar to each other. Sort of the key problem in Buttigieg's campaign right now is that he does quite well with white voters and has basically no support at all from voters of color. That's why he's doing so well in Iowa and New Hampshire, where the electorates are almost 100% white, but is not doing very well really anywhere else or in the national polls, where the electorates are much more racially diverse. And that really speaks to part of why Joe Biden still has the lead nationally. We did an interesting poll Tuesday in the city of Atlanta in advance of the debate, just of African-American voters in the city of Atlanta. And Joe Biden was getting 46%, and none of the other candidates were even in double digits. Just a huge gap between him and the rest of the field with African-American voters. So I think that means that he has the potential to really run up the score in the South and in a lot of places that are much more racially diverse than the first two states. Usually, if you win Iowa and New Hampshire, that means you're going to win the nomination. And I think we have a situation this year where that might not actually necessarily be the case.
Are there, speaking with Tom Jensen, public policy polling, what are the kind of the past primary races where that has been the case, where candidates have done really well in those first two early states and then kind of fizzled out after that?
Well, there haven't really been a lot. You know, for the most part, if you do well in both of those states or win both of those states, you are in good shape. So this would sort of be a counter to that. If Buttigieg wins those first two states but continues to struggle to get momentum anywhere else. To that point, though, about him trying to get momentum anywhere else, we already have one poll out about last night's debate that 538 did in conjunction with Ipsos. And they found that Pete Buttigieg was the winner of last night's debate, that it did more good for him than anybody else. So it'll be interesting to see, as he gets this momentum in Iowa and New Hampshire, after he had this apparently strong debate performance last night, if that starts to help him propel his performance elsewhere as well.
Any other significant numbers that you're seeing? I know there's a lot going on in the national scene between the Democratic primary, the impeachment inquiry here in North Carolina. There's still a redistricting fight ongoing, and we've spoken about that recently. What are you seeing in terms of the national numbers or the state-level numbers that people want to know about?
Well, one thing that was particularly interesting about the debate last night is that not that many people watched it.
Mm-hmm.
It was down to 6.6 million viewers. And basically, since the Democrats started having their debates over the summer, the viewership's been getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And there's been a lot of discussion in the last 2 weeks about whether this nomination contest is just too long, that people are already exhausted by it. And then the next debate's less than a week before Christmas, so it's hard to imagine that people are going to be very excited about that. So I would not be surprised if things don't change a lot the rest of the year, because I think people are kind of checked out, and then they'll be ready to check back in again in January on the Democratic race. And I think that's then when you're going to see the sort of movement for various people that really ends up being what matters or doesn't matter. A couple other things from that poll on the debate that's already come out. Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren were also perceived as having strong nights.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had Amy Klobuchar at 9% on an Iowa poll last week. So she's starting to get a little bit more traction than some of the other candidates in the back of the pack, at least in that early state that's very important. The big losers from last night, Joe Biden was perceived as having a poor night, although he's generally been perceived as doing sort of poorly in most of the debates, and it doesn't seem to affect his overall standing too much. And then the one person who had a really bad night was Tulsi Gabbard. I think a lot of people felt she was just kind of up there being a troll, trying to make Democrats look bad.
So with all of that in mind, obviously Iowa and New Hampshire begin the primary season, North Carolina not for a while after that. How much of an impact is North Carolina going to have in terms of who ends up winning this primary?
Well, I think North Carolina is actually going to have a really big impact. One thing that I had not fully realized until the last few weeks is that North Carolina is voting only 3 days after South Carolina. You see South Carolina get so much attention and hype. I actually think it's sort of disproportionate to its importance, given how quickly afterward North Carolina and a lot of other big states are voting. And one thing that does matter in these contests is sort of the flow of momentum. But it's just hard to imagine that how South Carolina votes on a Saturday is going to end up making big changes to how North Carolina and other states vote just 3 days later on Tuesday. And of course, we know in North Carolina that a lot of Democrats vote early, and that a lot of that vote may already be banked by the time people see what happens in South Carolina. So I actually think North Carolina's importance is getting underplayed relative to South Carolina.
PublicPolicyPolling.com, the website. Find them on Twitter at PPPPolls for more numbers as well. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.